Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Hear Our Voices. It's your host, Kay Did, and we are back on it again. So, right now, before we get into the podcast, we are going to talk about a little bit about the social media platforms. We have YouTube, we have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have Instagram, and we have Facebook. The ones with the most active, because I do them myself, it is Twitter and Instagram. I do those constantly. And then I put clips here and there on TikTok and things like that. But if you are looking for a job, if you're looking for resources, the resource packet will be down below in the linked a Linktree account, and you can find information there. You can find all our social medias on the Linktree account, right? But if you want to find a job and things like that, you can look. I do stuff on Instagram all the time. The stories are always going. Our feed is always going. We want to make sure we have the things for you and your families, or just even if you're not a family person, if you're just a single person, just to get the help that you need to be better, you know? So hopefully these things help you. They're doing periodically baby showers, like neighborhood baby showers. It doesn't matter if you live in that area or not, you still could be included. Take all the free stuff. Don't feel embarrassed. Take all the free stuff you can get. Times is hard. If you need the help, please take it. Don't feel away, because when you get there, you're gonna see that you're not the only person who's struggling. A lot of people are struggling, and you can make a community out of the people that you actually meet there. So, thank you for coming back this week. I hope you haven't been enjoying this year's podcast. Also, we have a Spanish podcast. So, if you're a person who wants to be on the Spanish podcast, or if you know anybody who can share their story of having homelessness with a family with a child under 18 years old in the USA, we definitely take you in your stories. Or if you're a person with resources in New York City, we take your resources. Right now, we only do New York. That's all we have the bandwidth for at the moment. Maybe in the future, when we get bigger and have a bigger team, we can do for different states. So again, so I'm gonna introduce you to my guest. Her name is Jennifer, and she's gonna, I feel like she's been on the podcast before. Maybe I'm going crazy. I could be wrong. I interview a lot of people, but she's our education person. She's gonna tell you about a little bit how the education goes with homeless sector right now in New York City, and give you more up to date with the. If you don't know, we have a lot of asylum seekers coming into New York. So also that affects education, that also affects the shelter, a lot of different things. And I want her to explain a little bit about what's going on really in general with education. It doesn't matter where you don't have to go with the asylum seeker right now to kind of come on, but you could go on with any way you want to go.
Thank you, Khadija, so much for having me on again. It's always such a pleasure to talk to you and connect with you, and super appreciate all you're doing to make sure that families have resources and know where to go for help. So, welcome to the new school year. We started off, with a bang. And I am excited to share some information that with your audience, based on questions that we're getting from families out there. At the start of the school year, we always get a lot of questions about enrollment, especially for families who, maybe were placed in a shelter far away from their kids' school. So I think it's always really, parents should absolutely know that they do not have to transfer their kids. They can keep their kids in the same school, even if they're temporarily living in a different neighborhood or even a different borough. And families can get, from kindergarten to sixth grade, can get free busing so their kids can get back to school. And if you're not getting busing, if your child is not getting busing, you can get a free Metro card from your kid's school. And that includes, like, even if you have kids in high school, you can get a free Metro card from your kid's school, if your child is not being bused. So definitely take advantage of that. A lot of parents don't know. And like, Khadijah, back to your point, like take advantage. Life is hard. Like, take the free resources where you can get them, because so many parents just don't know that that's available to them. And so, yeah, so get those free Metro cards if you're in temporary housing and your child is not being bused. We're also getting a lot of questions about, like, where do I go for if you are new to New York, or let's say your shelter is far away from the school and the commute is just too much and you want to transfer, like, where do I go for help? Like, And, they're not giving me information at the shelter, or there isn't a DOE person at the shelter. What do I do? You should absolutely go to the family welcome centers. There's ones in all the boroughs. And if you want to find the location, you can call 311 and ask for family welcome center, and they'll tell you where that is. And if you go to a family welcome center, you should be given a school placement same day.
Oh,
Not
wow.
tomorrow, not next week. They should give you a school, but you walk in, you say, I need to enroll my kid in school. They will give you a school placement letter same day.
I have a question because people might think that, honestly, I didn't hear about the Family Welcome Center until probably this year because I thought it was honestly really for only the migrants. So you're telling me no matter if you're a migrant, or asylum seeker, anybody from the shelter can go there.
So this is like such a great point, because in city with city services, they have like millions of different offices that all sound almost exactly the same. So their Department of Education family welcome centers, which are just for enrolling in school. And then there are what's called family navigation centers that are for newcomer families, immigrant families, asylum seeker families who are new to New York City, that are about connecting those families with, shelter, whatever kind of support they need. So the first one I was talking about, Family Welcome Center from the Department of Education, that is just for in-school enrollment. And then the navigation centers, which they also sometimes call welcome centers, are for
I think that's the problem. They're mixing up the names and then they're confusing regular people. And I'm saying that not anybody's not regular, but it's like I've been here. I wouldn't think to go. I'll go there like this is not for you. And it's like you're confused. So you need to be clear on the name so everybody can get that. So I have a question. Because it sounds like if you're not even in a shelter, you could use that same system, right?
It's for
You learn new things.
It's
Got
for all, it's for all, it's for all kids, all families.
it.
Anyone who wants to enroll in public school can go to the Family Welcome Center. What's a little bit tricky about for families in shelter is, they're popping up new shelters all over the city right now.
That's
And
true.
so sometimes, like usually, if you're a family and you have kids in elementary school, you just go to the local elementary school and enroll. Done, done, and done. You don't need to go to the Family Welcome Center. Just go to the local elementary school. But with, all these shelters popping up, sometimes the local elementary school doesn't have enough seats. So then they'll tell you to go to the Family Welcome Center to get a placement at another nearby elementary school.
Got it.
So, if you're a parent and you have elementary, if your kids are, pre-K to five, you can go to the local elementary school. They may tell you to go to the family welcome center if they don't have enough room in their school. And that's, again, that's happening a lot right now in Manhattan, in Queens, in parts of Queens, where all these shelters have popped up and the schools just don't have enough seats. There are seats in other schools, like no kid is going to be turned away. But it's just a matter of connecting them to
Proper resource.
to the right school. And then also to your point too, I just want to say one other thing. All kids going into high school,
Gonna
who
say.
are enrolling in high school, you have to go to the Family Welcome Center. Back in the
Oh,
day, they used to have neighborhood schools that you could
wow.
enroll in, but they got rid of
In
those.
zone
So now,
schools.
so no more zone schools for high school. So all high
Wow.
all teenagers, you have to take your teenagers to the Family Welcome Center to enroll. That's for, no matter where you're living, it doesn't matter if in shelter, permanent housing, like you got to go to the Family Welcome Center to enroll if it is high school.
I'm gonna ask this question because, as we know, a lot of people in shelter do have usually a lot of kids under 5 years old. A lot of them are very, very young kids. So I'm not saying we're not gonna cover your high school kids, but I just want to be very intentional because education to me is very important for kids. And the younger you can get them into, people say put daycare. My daughter's daycare was amazing. When she came out, she could read small words. Some daycares are just babysitting services. So you got to make sure you pick the school very well that you put your kids in. But for little kids, like. Because they have 3K for all. I'm mostly thinking about that 3K and 4K. How does that work exactly? And I
Yeah.
know that's not regular, public school. That's beforehand. How does that work? And would they place you, would they try to place you
Yeah.
near those particular schools?
So, Khadija, I'm going to start off by saying early care and education is super confusing. Like, I
Got
feel like you need to like go to school to be able to figure out like all the different programs. Like, it is just
you.
so like parents, if you're confused, you have every right to be confused. It is confusing. It is confusing. So I'm going to try to break it down as hopefully as easy as simply as possible. So
Got it.
you have pre-K and 3K programs. Pre-K is for any child who turns four before the end of the calendar year. So for this year, it would be any child born in 2019 is eligible for free pre-K.
Right.
Now, the pre-K could be in either a traditional public school, or it could be in what's called a New York City Early Education Center, which
Got it.
is usually like a daycare center or pre-K center. Like it could be, Josie's Daycare that has a pre-K classroom in it, or it could be the local Head Start program that has a pre-K classroom in it.
Right.
You can find a listing of all the pre-Ks and 3Ks by going to My Schools,
Yes.
and you can click browse and then click on 3K or pre-K depending on what you're looking for.
Myschool.org or .com, so they'd be able to get it.
I think it's .gov.
I
I
mean,
will
that's
tell
not
you
.gov too.
right. It is. I will tell you that in just a second. I also want to say about, I think it might be, yeah, it's my schools plural dot NYC.
Got it. It'll be linked down below so
Yes.
you can go.
And another thing too that's great about that pay about looking on that page is you can also find extended day programs. So a lot of parents don't, need childcare beyond just, the 8 to 3,
Right.
So like there are extended day programs too, that offer childcare in the morning and then after the regular school day is over, like to 6 o'clock. So you can also search on the website for those extended day programs.
Right.
And one thing that's like so many parents don't know about is all parents, all families who are in shelter, if the child has immigration status, so
Yes.
then their family and they meet the income requirements, the family is eligible for free childcare. Free childcare.
Right.
May I say
It's
this
through
again?
ACS and or
No,
HRA.
no. It is through the ACS's Office of Child Care, but that doesn't mean you have to have an ACS case.
No,
This is not
for sure, for
this
sure.
this this is just through their child care office. And so it's any family in temporary housing, so in shelter, who meets the income eligibility, whose child has, some type of immigration status here. So citizen or
A
like,
resident
yeah, or
or
legal permanent resident, something like that.
an asylum or
And
something like that.
you don't have to be working. You don't have to be in an education program. You don't have to show your work hours or any of that. It
Right.
is free childcare. You can either do, there are two options that you have. One is you can get a voucher
Right.
and you can use that at any childcare that accepts the voucher,
Right.
or you can apply to a program that they call it a contracted program. And so you just apply to that program directly and they put in the application for you, the
Got it.
childcare application for you. So a lot of times, like people with public assistance cases, they go to their worker and they say, like, I want childcare. And the worker says, well, you don't have enough hours working, so you're not eligible. That is not true. You may not be eligible through HRA, but you were eligible through ACS's Office of Child Care. They expanded the eligibility. So now all families in shelter should be able to get child care voucher or enroll in a contracted child care program for that extended day coverage. Just because you're in temporary housing, they want to make sure, going to all these appointments takes a lot of time. You don't want to be
It does.
dragging your 3-year-old around with you.
Oh
So,
man, that's the
getting the word out there is super important. Another thing too is like there are thousands of unfilled seats. So
Yes,
there are
there is.
seats available. Now, is there a seat available close to where the shelter is?
That might be
Maybe.
the
That might
problem.
be the problem, but there are seats available if you're willing to maybe look a little bit beyond like a couple blocks away. And if you're, having any problems with that, you can also call 311 and they can tell you over the phone. They can look up local programs for you and tell you about that. So, yeah, definitely if you have young ones. Oh, and then also for families who are, who are like asylum seekers or who are undocumented, another thing is Head Start and Early Head Start is available to all families, regardless of immigration status. That's birth to 5, or sorry, 6 weeks to 5 years old. You can get Head Start, Early Head Start programs. And again, you can find that on my schools too.
Guys, I'm telling you, education, education, education. We all have to know how to read, right? Yes, people just learn it later in life, but if they learn it younger, they can retain it, and by the time they can build up on it when they get into kindergarten. I've done this for my daughter. She's excellent in school. Not trying to brag or nothing, but I'm just saying she's excellent in school. She loves to read because they got, I hate it. I still hate to read, and I'm an adult. They always push reading on her. Granted, not everybody's gonna like to read, but they really made her, like, her vocabulary is excellent. From her age, she's 8. When I was her age, I was not talking like she was. These kids are also different, this generation. But take everything you can get for education, really take it for your child, because it's gonna help your family in the long run. It's gonna help you in the long run, and making sure your child has the best foundation they can actually have to have a successful life. That's all you want, your kid to always be better than you, and that's one way that it could be better than with proper education at a young age. But yes, so while a person's in shelter, what should they, if they needed some services, right, what should they ask? I know, I don't think I'll make you just ask, I'm not gonna give you too much questions at one time. What should they ask if they need help with
Yeah.
education-wise with their in their shelter?
Okay. So one thing we get a lot is like homework help.
Right.
So there's dial a teacher.
They still have that?
Yeah, they still have that. Yes, they
Yes, back
do.
in
Yes, they
my
do.
day.
Yes, they do. There's dial a teacher. It is 212-777-3380. That's 212-777-3380. Dial a teacher. So you can
Wow.
call Monday through Thursday from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. to speak with a licensed teacher who will help you with your homework. They speak. You can get access to services through 10 different languages. So if you speak Spanish, Haitian Creole, French, they can hook you up and help you out. So a lot of times you get questions
Wow.
from parents like, I can't help my kid. I don't understand this work.
It's
Call up
different.
dial a teacher.
Right.
Call up dial a teacher. They can hook you up.
Is this all age groups, or just like for more
Oh no,
elementary school?
all age groups. So give them a call. They're great. You know them.
I
They
know.
and you can find out the website is dialateacher.org. So if you have questions, you can look it up. But these are all licensed teachers. This is something that the teachers union makes available to all public school students. Another thing that I would talk to look into is libraries. Your local library. They have tons of resources for students. And then obviously after school programming at your school. So definitely talk to your school about what kind of after school programs there are, how to sign up for them, and sign up early. Don't wait, because the after school
Right.
programs at the school, they fill up quickly. So you want to sign up.
For
I'm going
sure.
to say one other thing for families in shelter around after school is a lot of times parents are like, well, what do I do about transportation then for those families who are in shelter further away from their school? You can get busing in the morning. And then if your kid participates in after school, then you can get a free parent metro card to take your kid to pick them up after school and take them home.
Got it.
So, definitely, look into that, and you can get that Metro card to pick them up in the afternoon, because I know obviously transportation is a huge issue with so many families.
It's true.
And speaking of transportation, I want to make a plug for those of you who have smartphones. Is this school year they expanded this app that they have, so you can track your kid's school bus. You can see
Yes.
exactly where it is on the street. It's like a little school bus on your screen. You see it moving around. So, like, so many times parents are like, where's my bus? When's it coming? When's my kid getting home? Well, you can download this app and you can track where the school bus is, so you know exactly when your kid is going to be dropped off and picked up. And that is called the New York City School Bus App. It's available on the Apple Store and on Google Play. But in order to set it up, you have to set up what's called a New York City Schools account. And your school can help you out with that. The DOE worker at the shelter can help you out with that. And if you have a New York City Schools account, you can also see all your kids' attendance information. You can see their report cards. You can see their school schedule. So, like, it's super helpful with the busing, but it's also really helpful for all these other reasons. You can see a bunch of information. Because another thing that we hear about parents is they get like the promotion and doubt letter at the end of the year, and they're like, why didn't anyone call me and tell me what was going on? So you can see on the New York City Schools account the report card, the progress report. So you can see what's going on with your kid in school. And for those of you who have where you're if your child is re receiving special education services, another thing you can see on the school's account is whether or not they're getting their required services. So, like, let's say your kid is supposed to get speech therapy 3 times a week. You can look on the New York City Schools account and see how many sessions of speech therapy that your child is getting. And let's be real here, there's not enough providers. So
There's not.
there are a lot of kids who are not getting their services. So
That's true.
it's up to those parents, it's up to you as a parent to like advocate for your kid and be like, hey, listen, my kid is supposed to be getting OT, occupational therapy, or physical therapy, or speech, or counseling. What's going on? I looked at my school's account and they're not getting it. And it's those parents who, what do they say? The squeaky wheel gets the grease, You got to speak up for your child and make sure that they're getting the services that they're entitled to.
That's so true. I'm gonna tell you right now, like she said, right? Advocating no matter what you are in, if you're supposed to get something and you know that's for you, especially for your child, people don't listen to children as much as they do. They should. Ch children are very smart and they know what they want, but certain things people are not gonna listen to them for. And if you as the parent who brought this child in the world, you want the best for them, you have to make sure you speak up for this child. Until they get 18, even after 18, they still stay in your house and eat your food. You have to be the person talking up for them, to be honest. If you know your child needs this thing, they just had this one thing, they could be over the top even better. They need therapy. They need that's what they need. It's like water. They need to get to have this particular thing to be a better person, be a better human. And if granted, as you heard, they don't have a lot of people doing these jobs, but if you do your part and you know you did all you can do until you get to your child actually gets that thing, you know you did your part. So you can't feel bad in the way that your child's not getting the services. But you have to make sure you really advocate for your kid. And even the shelter, advocate for yourself to make sure you get what you need to become better and get what you need for your family to make sure you can be successful. So just keep that in mind. If your child needs this particular thing and you don't see it in that app, like she said, to download, please speak up. And they might honestly, sometimes you'd be surprised. They're supposed to get it. Somebody overlooked it in the office. They didn't even, it's not even on purpose, but it's by accident. It's like, oh, I didn't know. And they'll put it in for the extra time. Because you have therapy for 2 weeks, for 2 days, but it would be only for 3 days in reality. But the person didn't realize it, so they didn't get that services, that service. So just be on top of it with your kids. I know it can be annoying. But I wish public schools did, because my daughter's not in public school. I think they should adopt some of the charter school stuff or even private school stuff, because I feel like the, she said the promotion and doubt letter. In my daughter's school, that would, and at the end of the year, would never have been a thing. As if you miss homework for one day, you're getting a call, they see you after school, your child's late 2 minutes. Sometimes, honestly, my daughter's supposed to start school at 7:45. I get a call sometimes 3 minutes before the time. So that's 7:42 if she come to school. They're really on top of it. Granted, they have more, it seemed like more staff, because her class has two teachers per class. Some, this girl I know in another school have a three teachers per class. So maybe that's the problem. And I know the teachers in the public schools are overworked, but they need to adopt somebody else's principles to kind of help them out, because it shouldn't be at the end of the year, you tell me my child might not go up in the grade. This could be prevented in the middle of the year. 2 months in, I should know what's going on. You have to also be that parent. I'm sorry, I know you're working hard, but you have to be that parent. If you're not sure what your child's doing in school, you got to look at the email. Everything's on computers now. You have to call a teacher. If you have the teacher's number, you have to go up to school. I know you're gonna lose money, but if you want your child to have the best they could have, you need to go to all those parent-teacher conference meetings if you can, or send a representative that you know, a friend or something, to make sure your child's doing the best. Because when your child suffers, that's gonna be on you as an adult. If your child can't read at 18, who's gonna fill out the application for a job? And you might say a child's at 18. I know somebody when I was in high school who was in my 10th grade who couldn't read. And that's the problem. They might have a learning like learning problem why they couldn't read, because people have dyslexia and things like that. But it shouldn't be until a person get in high school that you should have this problem. They should have resources as a child to be able to cope with this situation they might have to be better. I'm just saying, be an advocate for your child. You are the nobody's gonna love your kid like you're gonna love your kid. I promise you. But
Wise words, wise words. Back to like the advocacy around that. I know you asked before about like what other resources parents can ask about. All schools get funding specifically for students in temporary housing, for students in shelter. Like money. The school has money for your kids. So, and it can be used for like it can be used for tutoring. It can be used for counseling. It can also be used for things like you don't normally think of, like school uniforms. It can be used for winter clothes. It could be used for eyeglasses. Like, let's
Winter
say,
clothes. I didn't know.
yes, yeah.
Give that so I can give the people, because people need to know that,
Yeah,
especially for the migrants now. And with
yes.
everything, they're not used to winter like we are. Like,
I
we used
know.
to tough it out, but it's getting kind of chilly now, and we're in September, so
Yeah,
that would be a
yeah.
good resource.
So it's so every school has something called Title I STH, Students in Temporary Housing Funding, and they have to use it for students in temporary housing. And schools have a lot of you know, there's not like they only can use it for one thing. They can use it for a bunch of different things. And so as and every school has a parent coordinator. So ask the parent coordinator, hey, I heard there's this Title I STH funding. My kid could really benefit from fill in the blank. You know, is there someone here? Is there someone at the school I could talk to about this? You know, I recommend starting off with a parent coordinator. Chances are they're not the person who's going to make the final decision about it, but that's the best place to start off with. And if you get the runaround about it, give us a call. Advocates for Children has a helpline. 866-427-6033. You can call our help button. We'd be happy to look into it, give the principal a call, you know, make sure that the school is doing what they need to be doing to support your child. And the other thing I just also wanted to mention, because this has come up a lot recently, is the Department of Homeless Services, it seems like, or the city, I don't know who's making this decision, is moving families around in between different shelters. And for a parent, you know, that can be hugely disruptive for your kid's education, for after school, for childcare, the whole everything. So if you're in a situation where they're saying you have to transfer, Definitely you can reach out to our helpline, reach out to the DOE person at your shelter, your case manager. There are ways that we can advocate to make sure that your family is maybe not moved, or if the shelter transfer is definitely has to happen, maybe move to a shelter that's not so far away from where your current placement is. I know that if a couple parents have reached out about this, and we were able to get them transfers to another shelter, but one that was close by. Originally, the families from the Bronx are saying, you have to go to Long Island City, Queens. And the family is like all my support is here in the Bronx. Like, what are you doing to me? And she was, obviously super upset about what was going on. Reached out to Department of Homeless Services. They were able to find a placement for her in the Bronx, relatively close to where she was. So that is possible. It's not guaranteed, but if that happens, make sure you're advocating for you and your family to see if maybe there's another option so you don't have to go so far away.
Yes, we're gonna have to have Jennifer back because I feel like it wasn't enough time, but she have to go, guys. But she gave me so much information, even for my YouTube channel, to make sure families can, get it. My YouTube channel is bigger than this, so I want as much families in New York City who needs this. I didn't know Dolly Teacher was still around, so this is just awesome information. And I know she has so much more stored in her mind, but she does have to go, guys. So you'll see her coming up soon. I want to make another schedule programming with her. So, guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for being amazing. Follow us on social media. We are going to have up-to-date information. We have clips from different podcasts every day. Well, not every day, every other day or so on there. And you're going to see the fellows. Also, we're going to be hiring a new fellow. So, that'll be a new experience coming up. And you'll see pictures of us doing different things in New York City and learning about different things to be better advocates for you and your family. So, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. See you next time. Bye, guys.